Well, good morning, friends. Happy Christmas. My name is Bruce. If you've not met, I'm very pleased to be here with you this morning. I'm Senior Minister here at St. John's. Welcome. Christmas morning. Kids, have you opened the presents yet? Put up your hands if you've opened your present. You're not a kid, Beck. I saw that hand go up. All right. Did you have to wait for a long time for your presents? Did it feel like a long time that you had to wait for that year? At last, Christmas Day has come. Christmas morning is here and the wait is over. You can open your presents and we can all eat our prawns and salad. But you know, the waiting's not over ever, really, is it? I mean, we're always waiting for something. For example, pizza. You might be waiting for the pizza to arrive, or you might be waiting for the holidays. You may be stuck in a phone queue to the Commonwealth Bank and have spent the last hour and a half waiting for someone to actually answer the phone, and you know that music very, very well indeed. You may be waiting for your husband to do that task which you asked him to do last week, last month, last year, maybe last millennium. Waiting, waiting, waiting. Actually, we don't tend to like waiting very much, do we? This whole thing of delayed gratification, you know, in an age of internet and social media and credit cards, well, we kind of expect an answer immediately, you know, and we expect to be able to buy it today. And we work in sound bites. We're losing our patience skills. But sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes the good things come to those who wait. When Michelle and I moved into the church house together, it's a beautiful house, we love it to bits, but it was pretty hot out the back because the back faces west, and we thought, what do we need here? We need a shade tree. So we planted a tree which has taken 15 years to grow up. But now we have this beautiful shady spot to sit in summer and have friends and put a table out there. 15 years we waited, it was well worth the wait. Sometimes delayed gratification is the way to go. So today we're going to talk about waiting. This Christmas about waiting. What are you waiting for? Because the essence of faith is actually in hope and in waiting for that hope to be realized. We are waiting on God. Sometimes God expects us to wait for a long time when we're waiting on Him. Now, today we meet Simeon and Anna. And what I want us to notice about Simeon and Anna is that they were waiting. We read in verse 25, they were waiting for the consolation of Israel. And then in verse 38, the redemption of Jerusalem. Well, what's that all about? The answer is in the history of Israel. And very simply, in the Old Testament, Israel turned their backs on God. And the consequence of that was that they were overrun by their enemies. They no longer ruled in their own land. So God promised that as they turned away from the sin, that He would bring consolation and comfort and redemption. In other words, He would bring them home and set them free. That was the promise that Simeon and Anna were waiting to be fulfilled. So in Isaiah and chapter 40, which was written some 800 years before Jesus, so it's a long time prior, God actually wrote these words through the prophet Isaiah, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned." Now, the problem was, of course, that in Jesus' time, Israel and Jerusalem were still ruled by foreigners, by foreign empires. At that point, particular point in time, it was the Roman Empire. But godly Jews were still waiting for God to fulfill His promises, Simeon and Anna included. Now, I'm guessing that this is not particularly part of your faith, that you are waiting or hanging around in Jerusalem waiting for God to defeat the enemies of Israel and redeem Israel. Not unless you're a Zionist, which I hope you're not, because that's heresy, but it's not part of the way we think. Why? Because the promises of God have been fulfilled in a very, very different way. And what are you waiting for as part of your faith? Answer, you should have an answer to that so much clearer than either Simeon or Anna, because you have so much more information than Simeon or Anna. They only had a glimpse of what was about to unfold in the life of Jesus. But you know what happened from that point on. That's still in chapter 2. You've read the rest of the Gospel of Luke and on into Acts. You know the story, what happened from there, what that child did, the miracles that he performed, the crucifixion for the forgiveness of your sins, the resurrection from the dead, Jesus, Lord and King, risen over all, coming back to judge. So I hope you understand that. And on that basis, what are you waiting for? It's a little bit different to Simeon and Anna, isn't it? But it's kind of the same. You're waiting for Jesus to return in judgment and set things right. You're waiting for a resurrection body like Jesus' body. You're waiting for a new creation. And above all, you're waiting to meet Jesus. How wonderful will that be? It's all about the waiting. It's all about the hope. Based on faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his mercy, he has caused us to be born again into, listen to the words, a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you who wait. So, you're waiting for Jesus. Or maybe you're not waiting for Jesus. Maybe that's not you yet. Maybe you still have your hopes pinned on the things of this world. You know, the career is blossoming, or the mortgage on the house, you're hoping to get it repaid. Or maybe it's your next boyfriend or your next girlfriend. I don't know, whatever it is. The things that we have in this world, maybe that's where you've pinned your hope. Why should you hope in Jesus? And why would you wait for Jesus? I want to give you two very, very good reasons why Simeon and Anna are a good example for us and why we should be hoping in Jesus and waiting for Jesus. But I'm going to get someone to do something for me first. It's very glary because I can see straight out into the sunshine there. Could you please close those doors? It would help me enormously. Maybe one of the back, one of the very front ones as well. Thank you. So, two reasons why we should be waiting for... Oh, that's so much better. So, why are we waiting for Jesus? The first reason. We always wait for something better, don't we? If we're looking forward to something that's much better than what we have at the present time, we're waiting for that to actually be realized. So, what is Jesus offering that's better than this present world? Well, here's the answer. Forgiveness. Forgiveness, not just from another person, but forgiveness from God. Forgiveness which is like, you never did anything wrong. Not ever. We call it justification. Forgiveness like you had always loved God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, never turned your back on him. That's good. Forgiveness like you never hurt another person. You know those little times that you regret, or the big times you regret, and you think, I wish I hadn't done that? All forgiven. Like you'd never hurt, like you had loved every other person more than you loved yourself. That's the sort of forgiveness that we're talking about. That's how God is prepared to regard you. That's the gift of Jesus. What about resurrection? Immortal, imperishable, fit for heaven, no loneliness, no pain, no hurt, no death. Well, that's better than what we have at the moment, isn't it? And then there's adoption as God's beloved children. That's a great relationship to have with God. And there's membership in a new humanity, fit for a new creation. A little plug down here for the RSL. I went down there and turns out, you know, you can become a member for a few dollars and then every year they renew your membership automatically. So as long as you just go along there once a year, you've got ongoing membership. Till you cark it. God gives us eternal membership in his heavenly kingdom That's something to look forward to. That's really, really great. But maybe you say to me, sure, but I don't see it. Where is that all happening? And I would say to you, well, that's right. You've got to wait. Yes, we have forgiveness of sins now through Jesus, his blood shed for us. It's a down payment. We have the Holy Spirit now as a down payment. But to see Jesus come in glory, to actually see the things that I've just been talking about, we have to wait. So here we are with Simeon and Anna. They saw God come in humility, the baby Jesus. They didn't yet see him in glory, and neither have we, not yet. We're waiting with them. So the first reason to hope and to wait for Jesus is because he promises something better. It's something beyond our imagination. Can't even begin to imagine how good that is going to be. Second reason for waiting on Jesus, and it's this. Jesus is God's only plan. There is no other. There's no other way. There's no shortcuts. Simeon, verse 32, actually refers to this in this way. He says, he sees in Jesus a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Now, it's an easy enough phrase to understand, but there's a bit of hidden meaning in this. You see, he's echoing Isaiah again, and that word Gentile, well, it has a simple meaning. It means anyone who's not a Jew. That's nearly all of us here. Possibly all of us here. So when you talk about a Gentile, actually what you're talking about is the whole world. That's what it really means. It means everybody. We're talking Chile to China, Norway to New Zealand, Australia to Arabia, or India to Indonesia. That's what Simeon saw in this little child, a light to all of the world. So this is what Simeon's announcing is. This is God's big rescue plan for the whole world. And what does that mean? That means there's no plan B. Okay? You've got to go with plan A. There's no plan B. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That's the second really good reason to join up. There's no alternative. I want you to imagine for a minute you're on a station platform. There's a train there right in front of you. The doors are open. The lights are on. And you could just step onto this train. And then an announcement comes across the platform announcement system, and it says, this is the last train. Actually, this is the only train. You need to get on this train or be left behind. Well, that's the gospel news. That's Jesus. That's the reason we need to be waiting on Jesus, putting our hope and our trust in him. It's good reason to join up, friends. What are you going to do today? What are you going to do today? Because today is your opportunity. So we've talked about what are you waiting for, and I hope it's Jesus. We've talked about why wait, because it's beyond good and because there's no plan B. But I don't want you to be disappointed. And this is the third thing we're going to talk about is this. If you do put your hope and your trust in Jesus, you are going to die waiting. You are going to die waiting, unless, of course, the Lord returns first. Come back with me to Simeon and to Anna, for example. Now, Simeon, this is his last gig. He's just got the job to do of announcing Jesus, and then he says, all right, I'm prepared to die now. It's all over. But he's going to die with joy. Anna, well, Anna is a classic. We're told her age. There's a bit of a point made, but she's 84 years old. So in those times, that was ancient. And Anna had been a widow for nearly all of her life. She'd been married for 7 years, her husband had died, and instead of remarrying, she'd given her life to service of God in the temple. She was a classic Old Testament widow, putting her faith and her trust in the promise of God and the provision of God. They were waiting, certain that God would fulfill his promises. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's what Simeon and Anna had. And what we see here is that faith and hope overlap. They're very close to each other. Faith believes in the unseen, and faith believes in the not yet. Hope, well, that's waiting on God for what is unseen and yet to come. Now, Simeon and Anna were waiting patiently, and they were waiting for a very specific thing which God had given them to do, which was to announce the coming of God to his own temple. I just want us to sidetrack for a minute and think about that, because it's such an important announcement and it's easy to miss. Because God was coming to his temple in Jerusalem. Now, there's a history on that in the Old Testament, you see, because the glory of God filled the tabernacle in the Exodus. Israel sinned against the Lord. And then we come to the prophet Ezekiel, and what Ezekiel sees is the glory of God leaving the temple because of the sin of Israel. Now, here is God fulfilling his promise, and the glory of God is coming back into the temple, only this time it's in the form of a little baby in his mother's arms. How extraordinary that God should come that way in humility. And Simeon and Anna have the task from God of making that announcement that this is what is happening. Simeon then made his announcement, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples." His work's done, and now he says, "Dismiss your servant in peace." So God gave Simeon and Anna just a glimpse of what he was to do through this child. Rest of Luke's gospel, well, that tells us what God is going to do, what Simeon and Anna wouldn't see. Why? Because they were elderly. What a lovely way to talk about death, hey? "Lord, dismiss your servant now in peace, for mine eyes have seen the Lord." And so both Simeon and Anna died waiting. They never got to see Jesus' ministry and the fulfillment of the promise that they saw. What about us? Well, we have Simeon and Anna's testimony, but we've got so much more. I've already said we've got all of Luke, all of Acts, all of the New Testament. We know Jesus' miracles, his teaching, his suffering, his cross, his resurrection. And we know that that resurrection of Jesus is the testimony to God raising Jesus in the ascension to the throne of heaven to be the judge of the living and the dead. And one day you're going to meet him, as one day I will meet him. And it will be the day of judgment. And at that point, we will either belong to Jesus or we won't. You want to belong to Jesus. But we don't see it in this age. Simeon and Anna died waiting, and so will we, unless the Lord return first. Hebrews 11:13 is a wonderful reflection on this waiting business. It says this: Abraham, speaking about Abraham and the saints who came before him, it says, "They all died in faith, not having seen the things promised." In other words, they had to wait. "But having seen them and greeted them from afar and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on earth," for people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland, they desire a better country that is better than this place, a heavenly one, "and therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared for them a heavenly city." And once you have that hope, "Lord, dismiss your servant in peace." Once you have that hope, it's all sorted. In the meantime, we're left on this planet. We've got things to accomplish for Jesus. We wait patiently for his justice and his salvation for the end of this age and the world to come. The Christian life is a matter of waiting. I want to say to you, keep on waiting. Wait for Jesus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Simeon saw in Jesus a light for revelation to the Gentiles. And guess what? Today, in this very place, what he saw is being fulfilled. As I proclaim Jesus and we listen to the scripture, as we listen to the gospel, the good news about Jesus, it is Jesus has become to us a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That's us. And the salvation that Simeon saw has now gone to the ends of the earth. We are actually on the other side of the planet to where he was. And so his prophecy has been fulfilled and is being fulfilled right now. And so therefore, what do we want to say? I want to say to you, wait together. It's business of turning up for church at Christmas or Christmas and Easter. We need more than that. We need to wait together and encourage one another to wait. Why? Because waiting is a marathon. That's the whole thing about waiting, isn't it? You've got to last. And it's hard to last in this world as a Christian. And God gives us the means of grace, this church, the congregation of God's people, so that we can encourage each other. So we want to be part of that, and we want to make sure that we're actually encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, another quote from Hebrews. And because it's a marathon, we have to be careful when we get tired, friends. Because sometimes we get tired of doing good deeds, don't we? Sometimes we just get tired and we just want to kind of opt out for it, and we can't do it. We have to keep waiting for Jesus, and we have to hold on to the faith. Hold on to the faith. Why? Let me remind you, because what is to come is so good. It is so much better. It is beyond our imaginations. That's what we're waiting for. And because, friends, there is no plan B. There's not one plan for you and one plan for me and one plan for other people. This is God's universal, once-off offer of salvation in eternity for anyone who wants to take him up on it. Through Jesus. No other plan. You know, the disciples came to Jesus, and at one point Jesus said to them, because everybody was deserting him, so he said to the 12, he said, do you want to desert me? Do you want to leave as well? And they said, where else are we going to go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? Hope in Jesus. Wait for him. Don't let go. Die waiting. It's the only way to die. Well, we're going to sing this great hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing Glory to the Newborn King. That's what Simeon and Anna, they were doing. They were giving glory to the new king. As we come to sing this, just let me lead us in prayer quietly and quickly. Father in heaven, thank you for the birth of this new King Jesus, who lived and did great miracles on this earth, was crucified for our forgiveness and justification, who was raised from the dead to be seated at your right hand, who now has authority to judge the living and the dead and offers us forgiveness, and we will just put our hope and our trust in him and wait for him. Please, Lord, for each one of us here in this room, for anyone who listens to this online, Father, in your mercy, grant us the strength to wait, to run that marathon, and to be with Jesus at the end, the unimaginably good, wonderful end. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.